On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. I am your host. I am that little cracker that they pass around in the church. Hey, guess who is here in the studio? Don't even try. Don't even try to guess. You never will. He's been on the show frequently before. He joins us again today because there's a huge event going on in Plymouth, Massachusetts. They're actually going to blow up the... Never mind. Be careful what you say. Yeah, all the boats, all the Columbus boats are going to blow them up in the harbor. It's going to be fun. Mark Schipetta is here.
Thank you for inviting me to your pod.
All right, sounds a little weird, but sure. Mark Schipetta does so many things that it would take the entire show to list them. So here we go. He's a private investigator. Actually, not so private anymore. And he's a media mogul. He's had his own radio talk show, his own cable television program. He's done lectures. He is now a producer and promoter for a cause that he is championing. And he's done many television pilots.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
He took a bath yesterday. It just doesn't end. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Ron. Thank you for the wonderful intro.
It's exhausting.
I haven't taken a bath in a while. Although I do have.
Thanks for telling me.
Well, I haven't taken like a traditional bath.
What do you take? Like a sitz bath?
No, a shower. I took a shower this morning before I came over. I worked out this morning. I took a shower at the gym. I like to shower 5 days a week at the gym because I use the gym's hot water instead of ours at our house.
That's a good point. Is it
private?
Yeah,
so I save money.
Is it like a high school gym? Where, okay.
Because
that was like the worst experience of my life.
Right?
Showering naked with like guys standing like only 10 feet away from me, not even.
Yeah, it's funny because Max, my young guy, who's 11 years old, just entered sixth grade.
Mm.
And the big thing now in sixth grade is they have gym class that they have to change for gym class.
Oh.
So when he was in, K through fifth, it was just you went to gym in your regular clothes. Now they have to change and get in their little tidy whities or their underwear in front of other kids their gym shorts on.
No way.
So I try to explain to him the evolution of that, and that if he ends up playing organized sports, that there's something called gang showers, which kind of devastated him. And I think he said he thinks he's going to stick to being a musician instead of an athlete.
Well, good, because I don't think you have to change your underpants in front of other musicians.
Very awkward. I remember those days.
Yeah,
because
it was extremely awkward.
I wasn't a super late bloomer as far as puberty goes, but you know, it's
most kids aren't, except for certain cultures.
But right.
No, it was awful. That's where I learned where not to look on purpose. I trained my eyes not to look in certain directions. It was just an awful.
But it's like when someone farts. It's like when someone farts. You're not supposed to smell it, but you kind of smell it. It's the same thing. You can't help but check out someone else's genitalia when you're not supposed to be.
Yeah, and of course, I constantly was dropping the soap, but not on purpose. It just slipped out of my hand a lot. And women don't have that. Women have privacy showers and privacy stalls when they go to the bathroom, and yet those are the ones that are probably more curious than anybody.
Yeah,
I don't understand it.
My stepson Alex just entered into the army, and I know that when you go into the military, you have to there's no walls like when you have to poop.
Yeah,
and you just got to sit next to someone else, and I mean I could. I'd be constipated for 12 weeks.
Way. I remember going to what they called Schaefer Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
I remember.
Like 30 years ago, I think it was. And the men's rooms, they didn't have urinals. They had a trough.
Yeah.
A horse trough.
Fenway was like that too. Yeah. Boston Red Sox.
And you just you just drop your pants and you pee into a trough. And I thought, well, what are you going to feed me, oats next? My God, what is this about?
I was at the Marshfield Fair, which is here, you know, Marshfield's kind of on the way to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, a few weeks ago. And I went in, and lucky Max didn't go in with me. Max and I went, and he waited outside. He was scoffing down an ice cream cone, and I went in to tinkle, and there was a guy at the urinal, and his pants were down by his ankles, all I could see was his ass, and I'm sitting there peeing, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden, I see like a normal looking guy walk over and grab him and usher him into the stall. He was a mentally challenged man.
Sorry.
But at first I'm like, is that some cultural thing? Like they just
it's new.
Just wasn't,
it's a thing.
I'm like, lucky Max didn't go in with me. Yeah. Like I have to explain that one too.
It's a thing. Yeah. You got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy.
You know what? I feel like Ward Cleaver sometimes. It's weird. Like every kid's different. And you know, with my twins who are 22 years old, I guess I explained stuff to them, but they were always too busy, like punching each other in the arm and beating each other up, that there weren't a lot of one-on-one dad moments, you know. But with Max, we spend a lot of time talking and explaining things to him. And yeah, sometimes it sucks having to be a parent, especially having to kind of sound mature and responsible.
This show has turned into Dr. Phil somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Anyways, thanks for having me, Ronald.
Well, it's a pleasure being had here.
Yes.
Yeah. The reason that he's here is to...
you know you're a walking conflict today?
Yeah, why?
Because you're sitting here in studio.
Yes.
And
I am the last person to wear a t-shirt like this. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes. You're wearing a New England Patriots t-shirt, and you're not a sports guy. Plus, one of your sleeves is down and one of your sleeves is rolled up.
Oh, I didn't even notice because... Yeah. See, you must understand, Mark himself is not a fashion plate. We went out to dinner with the girls about 2 months ago, and he shows up in a Mickey Mouse t-shirt at a fairly nice restaurant. So I figured, what the hell? I don't care if he's coming to the studio or not. No, I dislike sports totally, so I use this to sleep in because,
And you know what I noticed since that night?
What?
We've gone out to dinner probably twice since that night.
Yeah.
So that night, I show up with a Mickey Mouse t-shirt, and you show up dressing nice, and then the next two times, I show up dressing somewhat nice, and you're in a t-shirt.
Because I expect that you're going to someday show up without any clothes on at all.
Right.
So I figure, why should I dress up? You know, he doesn't, so why should I?
So we need to communicate next time before we go out.
Oh, now we sound like women.
Yeah.
What are you wearing, Mark?
Right.
I'm going to wear the red dress. I was going to wear that.
It's funny. Janice and I, we go out to eat a lot, and I tend to go with the salad, and she tends to go with the burger. And every single time, the waitress comes out and hands her the salad and hands me the burger.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Or the server, like not the wait, like the person that takes the order is never the one that delivers the food.
Right.
You know, so.
That is,
So I always love throwing her under the bus. I'm like, nope, I'm doing the salad.
Right.
She's eating the greasy burger.
No tip. Sorry. So Mark is here because he's wearing his producer pants. And I'm just happy he's wearing pants
at all. And they're not down by my ankles.
Right. Not right now. Anyway, this has turned into a real bathroom show. Every time you're on, it turns into a bathroom discussion.
I can tell you a bathroom story.
All right. Let's get it out of the way.
So we've bathroom stuff is always the most uncomfortable thing when you're married. Especially when you go away and you go to a hotel.
Right.
So, you know, and you're always in a hotel, and this room is small, and if you have to go to the bathroom, especially number two, you know, it's always uncomfortable. So I've started calling it, you know, I'd be getting up and I'd leave the hotel room, and Janet's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to the gym. So it's become code. So whenever I need to do number two, I'm going to the gym.
I see.
You know,
interesting.
Yeah, so that's what I call it. So today, I've been really, some reason, last couple of days, my belly's been unsettled.
Yes.
I don't know if I ate something bad or what, but so today I got
bad
up.
Bad salad?
Yeah, something. Yeah. Today I got up and I went to the gym within the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Like I barely made it to the gym to go to the gym.
That sounds like universes colliding.
So I'm driving really fast at 4:30 this morning. I'm like, oh my God, I got to go to the gym. But I'm really going to the gym. But I got to go to the gym.
Wow. That's a time-space continuum thing.
My wife texts me this morning. She's like, how was the gym today? I go, I went twice. She's like, really? You worked out extra today? Like, anyway, so
wow.
Go ahead.
That's a good story, actually.
Thank you.
That'll appear in many great publications.
Yeah.
Hey, so Mark's producing a comedy special with a K.
Yes.
And he's doing this. It's his second annual comedy spectacular. It's Comedy for a Cause.
Yes.
And we'll talk about why cause in just a second. Mm-hmm. But the show itself is pretty awesome. Last year, the end of September, he premiered this thing at the Plymouth Convention?
Plymouth Memorial Hall. Yes.
In Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Historic,
everybody knows where that is.
Historic Plymouth, Mass. Yeah.
What you do is you go to Plymouth and it's smack dab in the middle and there you are. It's not a hard deal. And people travel from Connecticut, New York, et cetera, to go to Plymouth and Cape Cod. Stop in for this show. Some of the great comedians now and from the past and some great little features as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well attended, but there's seats left. That's why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a show, and it's for a cause. First of all, who is in this show?
Well, it's Comedy for a Cause, too. It's September 29th, so a week from this Friday in historic Plymouth, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great area, especially if you want to grab a bite to eat.
Have a nice dinner and then go see the show.
Right, go see the show.
Dinner and a show.
Yeah, the show's it's kind of an all-star cast. We have the great, he's a New England comic, but he's actually known throughout the country through his television shows in the past. Is Lenny Clark is going to be there. And actually, Lenny's starring in a movie that's coming out this Friday.
Starring or in it?
Oh, I shouldn't say starring.
Yeah,
he's not the star.
Yeah.
He has a supporting role. He plays like Uncle Bob or something.
Oh,
the movie Stronger. Which is based on the Bowman kid that was injured in the Boston bombing. So he's got a really great part in that movie.
That's nice.
So Lenny's going to be there.
Funny.
Local comic from Plymouth, Mass., Christine Hurley, who's blowing it up nationally. Jimmy Walker's coming in. JJ's
Dynamite.
Kid Dynamite. Now I'm picking him up at the airport next week.
Are you really?
I am.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be.
Do you know what he looks like? That is, you should hold up a sign, Jimmy. Sorry, I was expecting a white person. I didn't know.
He may like that, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. These celebrities don't...
they don't look like themselves when they're not in a performance setting, though, necessarily.
Yeah.
And JJ doesn't look like he did when he was on Good Times.
Well, because on Good Times, he was in his 30s, and now he's 70.
Yeah.
But... You know, he's been nice. He's nice enough to fly out and do our show. And
nice.
Jimmy actually works clean, which I was unaware of until I got his contract by his manager that he does work.
I like him already.
I know you like clean comics.
I love clean comics. You know why? Because if you're funny and you're clean, you're good.
Right.
If you're funny and you're dirty, gimmick.
Yeah, well... Lenny sorts is that way. Lenny goes both ways. You know, legitimately, but you know, a lot of the show is it has some blue tendencies to it.
It can.
But so Jimmy, he does work clean. He's coming in. You know, it's funny. Jimmy just did a promo for me.
Mm-hmm.
He sent over a little video blog to promote the show, and at the end he goes, "You need to come to Comedy for a Cause, too. It's going to be..." And I was expecting him to say dynamite.
Right.
And you know what word he used?
What?
Explosive.
Now, there's a reason for that, actually, isn't there?
I think so. Yeah, I heard he doesn't like to use the word dynamite too often. Yeah. And it's weird.
It's odd.
Some of these Hollywood...
That's his hook.
Right. And that's what made him.
Yeah.
But you know, I actually was watching one of his comedy bits from the Gotham Comedy Club in New York. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, and I think this was televised maybe 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and he was talking about there hasn't been a day in over like 30 years mm-hmm. that he has not been on TV.
Yeah, really?
Like that sitcom has been running that long every day. Yeah. And you know when he was younger, the way they structured these contracts, he's not making a residual off all those shows. Right. So that I guess that would bother me if my likeliness was used all the time and I wasn't getting paid every episode. But it's still, I'm sure it's helped him in other ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's coming out. So we're excited to have Jimmy Walker. Mm-hmm. We got some local comics going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. Some Massachusetts comics going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. Danny Miller, Jerry Thornton, who's a Boston sports personality who sits on my board of directors, mm-hmm. is going to be on the show. And then opening the show is going to be, now I like to run. I like to be a little unusual, a little odd when I run shows, and I kind of like that variety aspect, that gong show type aspect to things. So I'm opening the show with a one-hit wonder, 15-minute of fame gentleman by the name of William Hung from American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be coming out.
She bangs.
Right. So he's flying in from L.A. to open the show, and seems like a very nice gentleman. He's actually a... an engineer for the city of Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah, bright guy.
Wow.
And has capitalized, like all of us would like to do, off 15
not?
Minutes
Why
of fame
not?
And has made millions doing it.
Sure. Good.
So he's
good
coming
him.
Into, and he, I think he knows. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, you're going to have the Asian guy come out mm-hmm. and sing She Bangs horribly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to get off the stage. And then our great host, Johnny Peasy, is going to come out. And you know the jokes are going to be flying.
Right.
He must be okay with it because that's why he went on American Idol to begin
Probably.
With.
Probably.
And I have to pick him up at the airport also.
Who?
William Hung.
Oh, William Hung.
They're coming in the same night. I should pick him. I should have William Hung and Jimmy Walker sit in this back seat of the car. That's like a sitcom
in
itself.
You have to. Ooh, tape it. Tape that.
There's a black and an Asian in the back seat of my car.
Sounds like a joke.
Yeah, right.
And now Mark's going to tell a joke.
Yeah, right.
So there's a black and an Asian in the back of my car. So you're not picking them up at the same time.
No, one
so
flies in.
So you have to go
it.
Back?
Yes.
Oh, what a pain in the...
One flies in at 6 and one flies in at 9:30.
What day is this?
Thursday night before the show.
Wow.
I might actually have someone help me picking up one of them.
Absolutely.
You know, because it is kind of a pain in the neck and get William to the hotel. Now,
who would you rather pick up?
Yeah, probably Jimmy.
Yeah, I think so, because the conversation might be a little better.
Yeah, you know what?
Well, how much can you really have a conversation with William Hung about his thing? Well, I mean, his 15 minutes.
I have one question I wanted to ask him, and that's I guess it probably gets asked a lot. I'm curious if when he went on the show, because he was a student at Cal Berkeley, and that's a pretty tough school to get into, was it a dare?
Yeah.
Did he really think he could sing, or was it a dare to go on there and it just went viral?
I bet he thought he could sing.
You think?
Yeah, and if so, he's delusional.
Yeah, I message him. I'm like, "What do you need? You need anything special for the stage?" And he's like, "I need a wireless mic because I like to use my hands when I sing."
So I think he still thinks he can sing. Perhaps
he cut like two albums after that, like a Christmas album.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of his talent, Mark. Wasn't because you got to hear this great singer. He's really good, you know.
So the show is going to be it's wacky. It's going to move fast. It's going to be exciting, and it's all for the Wheelchair Strong Foundation, and that's wheelchairstrong.com, and that's to help kids that have Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which is terminal muscle wasting, a disease that my twins Troy and Andrew suffer from, and they're 22 years old. Very high functioning, enjoying life, and they're going to be there. They're going to be selling their Wheelchair Strong T-shirts. They're going to be selling Wheelchair Strong bracelets. And, it's turned into like a family affair, a great event, a great community event, and it's only going to get better every year. Where we're really trying to step our game up and bring some. Troy and Andrew are like, Dad, they don't sit there. They're 22. They don't sit there and listen to the show. They're busy making money and wheeling and dealing.
Right.
you know, and
Cleveland and Deal.
Right. You know, in the demographic, I brought William Hung in because I wanted to lower the age demographic a little bit to try to get more people in to enjoy it. But I would say
he's a novelty act, though.
He's a novelty.
That works. He's a draw.
Yeah,
no kidding. It's you smile and you laugh and you have
right.
a good time.
Right.
So this is and it's what time is the show?
The doors open at 7 o'clock for general admission. You can get tickets at the door. It's a beautiful arena. It holds about 1,400-1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
There are limited VIP tickets left, but if you want to try to get them, it's at memorialhall.com, and that includes dinner, and that includes a meet and greet, you know, photo opportunities, you know, mm-hmm. with the celebrities that are going to be there. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's great. Lenny Clark is just larger than life, and those
He's
that don't recognize
man.
The name,
yeah.
well, he used to be larger yes. than life. He's now a skinny man.
Skinny, yeah.
If
now
you don't,
he looks sick almost.
Yeah, he
too
just
skinny.
Yeah, he's very fit. He,
yeah.
If you don't recognize the name, those out there listening, you know, most people from New England. You say Lenny Clark, you know him,
right.
but I know this New England Broadcasting and the Ron Van Dam show reaches yeah. parts all over the country. If you
well,
know,
yeah, Lenny's done a lot of television shows.
He was on a major
national,
series
yeah.
for years. He yeah. was on Rescue Me with what's his name. Who's that? The
Dennis Leary. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
another famous Boston comic.
Yeah. So he's been on a lot of television shows, and he's just a staple in this area. And, and he always puts on a good show, and he's always very charitable.
You know who passed recently who I really thought was funny?
Who?
Boston comedian Kevin Meaney.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was very sad to hear that, and I don't know why so early.
Yeah. Him and Lenny were roommates
yeah.
back in the day.
Very funny guy.
I'd say the majority of
a clean comic, too.
Was he? All yeah. right. The majority of comics have come out of Boston. Like the number of comics that have come out of this area, it's, you know, it's insane. Who's your favorite comic of all time, though?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Wow. That's tough, man. That is tough. I can't pin it down to one. I really can't.
You know what I had come in the mail yesterday? I got, and I love eBay. Now, I have like a man cave, and I would consider this studio kind of a man cave. It's kind of like your room.
Sort of.
And I have a man cave, and I have a record player in my man cave. And I got an original Rodney Dangerfield No Respect album that came.
Very funny, man. Everything he said was funny to an extent.
Yeah, and he was clean.
He was clean.
He
was clean.
Just
suggestive, but clean.
Yeah.
No, he was very, very funny. I, you know who I really respect, and I smile whenever he does his act, and I've seen it quite a few times. Richard Lewis.
Yeah,
he doesn't tell jokes.
Yeah,
he just talks and says stuff, and it's just I don't know. It's just a fascinating psychological trip that he takes you on.
Yeah, it's,
I like him.
I guess you're right. You know, when you slip into that dark side and you do go blue, you know, maybe it's a nervous thing.
It is for a lot of people. Yes, there's
but
no
people
question
like
about
that
it.
Stuff.
They
though.
Do like it. That's the pandering part, though. When you know, just if you throw a curse word into a sentence, they'll think you're one of us.
Right.
But it's not. But you threw it in there. Sometimes consciously, subconsciously. But it's not a necessary tool. And
I like when they talk about like life and marriage and kids
and stuff you relate to that
and stuff that we can you know my brother-in-law is infatuated with this guy and I can't think of his name. He's an Italian guy. He does a whole routine about growing up in an Italian family. He's huge. He plays at all the major theaters now.
Is he an older?
No, he's probably my age.
Oh,
yeah, he's probably in his late 40s, early 50s.
By the way, Rocky LaPorta is apparently in the show as well.
Rocky LaPorte was supposed to be in the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He backed out.
I'm
sorry. He had a conflict, and we brought in another guy, John Parada, who is, they say, the Don Rickles of today.
Uh-oh.
He works the crowd.
Don't sit down front, then.
Right. My wife's going to be down front.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to make sure he goes right at it.
Yeah,
no, I was hoping to have Rocky, but unfortunately, but John's equally as good, so...
Mm.
Yeah, it's a lot of work putting the show on. I'm so stressed out, and it's just...
You do it once a year, and you stress for an entire year almost as well.
Pretty much. I'm already booking the comics for next year's show, you know, because we're always trying to... You know, we're trying to make this thing so big, you know, that we can raise a ton of money for Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And, you know, my whole mission with my charity and with the Wheelchair Strong Foundation is not just to ask for handouts. It's to give back an entertainment value with... You know, with the shows that I do, you know, my kid said, hey, Dad, you know, why can't you get Kevin Hart to come next year?
Yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah, you know, they're like, you know, I mean, these comics are good, yeah. Dad, but, you know, they kind of cater to a 40-up crowd.
Yeah.
You know, how about, you know, well, Kevin Hart? I said, I can get Kevin Hart. Yeah, sure. But when he's 72 and he's playing the KSC.
Right.
Right now, I don't have $5 million to book him for an evening.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem with some of these young comics. So, you know, you can't get them.
It is, but at the same time, you know, I think I don't know. You probably feel the same way I do. But if I made it really big,
yeah,
I would want to do charity stuff too for free.
Right.
But a lot of them don't. No, they just go for the bucks. And you know, they say, well, I got to feed my kids. Yes. Feed your kids. You can buy your kids 10 times over. What do you mean feed your kids? Do some charity stuff, man.
Yeah, they do. It costs us well over $10,000 to put the show on.
Yeah.
You know, and then we hopefully raise $50,000. And that's, you know, that's the goal.
So spending $5 million for a comic probably doesn't enter into the budget.
Yeah, we're working on some big names for next year, but we'll come on down the road and plug that. And I think that the person I'm thinking of next year will sell the place out in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, probably. No matter who you're thinking of, probably the case.
Yeah, so what else?
It's a little fascinating to hear behind the scenes. Not only is there the show and the event itself, but, you know, how you put it together and some of the politics involved. It's kind of interesting.
It's just a lot, yeah. And then you're dealing with personalities with these people. It's like Jimmy Walker sends a contract, and he needs to have, I think, 6 gallons of Welch's grape juice in the green room.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Wow.
And he wants to work out the day of, and it can't be a hotel gym.
My God, isn't that interesting? Is it?
Yeah.
Very sensitive. It's almost like Bill Cosby. I have to have five of your staff member, female staff members, watch me eat a sandwich. I mean, which is what he actually did.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I've heard that. Yeah. You know, William Hung's like, can you, my grandmother's sister lives in Bangor, Maine. Is there any way you can drive me there before the show to see her?
Wow, man. Whatever happened to just asking for a cheese platter?
Right?
Come on.
Yeah, so you're dealing with
car, Will.
You know, you're dealing with egos. You're dealing with all these different personalities and these different quirks.
So entitled.
Yeah, Jimmy needs lemons.
But Jimmy needs lemons. Sounds like the name of a book or something.
Yeah, Jimmy needs lemons. He asked to...
Or a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go on after a comic that does dirty material.
Well, that's nice. I like that.
He will do...
That's not a problem.
Yeah, and I'm giving all his secrets away in his contract. It probably shouldn't be, but he will do... and this is probably the one thing that knowing you won't like about Jimmy Walker.
Uh-oh, what is it?
You know, I don't want to sour you.
All right.
Well, it's all over the media, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Well, he leans towards the right.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, he's a right leaner.
Oh, this could kill it for me. You're right.
He doesn't put that in his act, though.
Right.
But he...
oh, my God.
He will do radio interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't go on hip-hop stations. For a black man, he won't go on hip-hop stations. He'll do country.
Right.
He'll do
rock. Does he have
rock.
A reason for that?
I don't... I think it has to do with... I think it's his whole image, and I don't think he's into that.
But a lot of his humor, because I've seen the stand-up, is black comedy.
Yeah.
He'll do the black-white thing.
He does that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very surprised.
Yeah. I'm just quoting what I read in the confidential contract I'm airing.
Is very, very disturbing.
Yeah. Well, he was.
You know, there's a difference. Let me just clarify for my own purposes.
Yes.
There's a difference between being right politically on the right and supporting an asshole.
I don't know if there's any of that. I haven't heard anything about the president.
Yeah. We tend to say if someone says I'm a Republican, well, then you supported the asshole. So, I mean, you really can't and you shouldn't do that because...
You should be a bipartisan talk show host, though.
I am. Not.
No?
Not. No, I can't. I usually am.
Because I've learned to be very. I've learned to be very generic in my.
Genetic.
Yeah. Very generic in my opinions when it comes to everything in life because you just. You feel like you're walking on eggshells. But no, he was dating. Ann Coulter, maybe?
Jimmy Walker was dating Ann Coulter?
I think so.
That has got to be the weirdest combo ever in a restaurant.
He's all over the news media with her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the blonde girl.
She's very, she used to be pro-Trump. Now she's not.
Yeah,
now she
so maybe, well, maybe he's swaying the other way. Maybe you need to have a conversation with him in the VIP lounge.
Maybe he won't discuss that with me in the VIP lounge.
You're not going to get in a fist fight, right?
No, I'm not going to hurt anybody. Well, Jimmy's a big man, though, now. There was a time I could beat the crap out of him. Now he's a good-sized man.
70-year-old man.
Well, hey.
It's amazing like that he travels around so much, too. It keeps these guys alive.
Mark, let me explain something to you. 70 is not, like, really debilitating age. God. I mean, I'm kind of surprised you're still walking around. You're not even near 70, so.
I was watching a clip of Bob Seger. He came to town here in Massachusetts recently, and he's 73 years old, and he's up there touring and
some of these
jamming.
People. You know who amazes me most? I saw a concert she did in Holland. It was on like 4 years ago. She's in her mid-80s, Tina Turner.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap. How does she... Is it really her?
Does she look good?
She looks perfect.
Would you sleep with her?
No. I can't say that. I would, but I can't say that. She was incredible. She's dancing all over the stage more than I could. I don't understand.
Yeah, but that's also...
She's genetically something happened there.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
What's that saying there? It's okay to say, right? Black don't crack.
I don't know.
One of my best friends is black, and he always says, I go, yeah, you look great, Michael. He's like, black, don't crack.
I don't buy that.
No?
No.
What happens to white then?
Well, how, Tina's dancing all over the stage.
That's
why. That has nothing to do with cracking.
That's why, because she's staying active and she's staying fit. Yes, and once you stop moving, you die.
She's got a perfect body.
Did you see the photo that popped up on the Emmys from the 9 to 5 chicks?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
What they said?
Well, no, just what they look like.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all like, you wouldn't recognize any of them.
Like Dolly hasn't changed in 40 years.
She had a really good plastic surgeon.
Hell yeah.
And Jane Fonda didn't.
Right.
Jane Fonda she looks very good, but it's like they put another face on her. Why don't you just remove her head and put another head on?
Who's the other one? What's her name?
Lily Tomlin. Yeah, she didn't do much of anything
Lily's
to herself.
Lily.
Yeah. She's just, you know, lesbians don't get into that stuff.
I watched Johnny Carson last week, and Johnny had Dolly on. And did you see the one where he was asking Dolly about her boobs?
Yes. what else would you say to her?
And this isn't like 1970, late 70s or something she was on, and she looks the same.
That was the fun of the 70s, where you couldn't say it directly, and it was funny just the way you skirted around it in order to make that point and that joke. That's a craft. That's an art.
Yeah.
To say something dirty, but you didn't say it in a dirty way.
Yeah.
You worked around it and got there. That to me is talent.
Well, that's why.
That's funny.
That's why Stern went downhill when he went to satellite radio.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on terrestrial radio, he had to tap dance around what he wanted to get
to. It's funny to see someone tap dance.
And you left it to your imagination.
Yes.
And when you're driving your car, and when he was on syndicated here in Boston, the now defunct WBCN he was on, and you listen, and he's like, tell me what you're wearing.
Yeah.
And you had to explain
it.
And then he switches over to satellite radio, and it's like graphics.
Yeah.
And it just didn't... It's almost like... You know, I don't want my wife walking into bed completely nude. I want her walking into bed with something on.
Let's talk about someone that you don't know.
Yeah.
And you see this beautiful woman, and these are guys talking here, ladies and gentlemen. You see this beautiful woman walking down the street. She's dressed beautifully.
Yes.
Revealing, wonderful. Yes. And that is 5,000 times more tantalizing than her just standing there naked.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think people, I don't think human beings understand that, but that is really the case.
That's why I wear my sweatpants and sweatshirt to bed.
Absolutely.
Turns my wife on.
I don't want to see you naked either. This is fine.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, it's like you need something, You need to dress them down. Yes. You need to need something to rev the engines up and
rev the engines.
You know, if you need an appetizer before you have your main course.
True. True.
You need a little bread and butter.
But that's not. But see, for the main course, you turn the lights off anyway.
Right.
What's the point?
I know.
I mean, I don't keep them on. I don't put spotlights on them. You know, I turn the lights off, and so I don't really even get it. This is really good. You should go to Mark's show.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the guys in the gym. That, you know, my wife knows the gym in the morning is guy talk, and that's where we get all our piss and vinegar out in the morning. It's all guys. So one of my buddies was talking about how one of his friends, and this came to my brain because of Stern. You said really heavily promoted this. One of my guy friends was telling me about how his buddy introduced a silicone sex doll into their relationship.
Oh.
Like a $3,000 doll that you can make and craft and the hair and everything into their relationship. And so he pulls it up on his phone and he's showing me it. And these things look real.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking real.
Yeah.
And it's introduced into the relationship with him, the wife, and the doll.
Wow.
And the three of them kind of like role play.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I guess. Like if my wife wanted, I get jealous of when my wife's snuggling with the dog sometimes and I want attention. Yeah. I don't know if I could handle her having like a guy doll, real, like a guy doll thing. Yeah, I didn't look at the guy ones. I was only looking, which is fine if you want to look at the guy ones, but I was looking at the girl ones with them for a second and I'm like, what if you even, you know, is that cheating? Like if you went out and you had an extra couple thousand lying around and you purchased one of those dolls and she lived at your office and you hung out with her at your office and she was just plastic and silicone.
Mark, if I had a couple of $1,000 to throw around, I'd just get the real person.
Well, but that's...
And pay them
but
to
I'm
stay
a private there. Eye and I catch people cheating for a living. I've never caught someone cheating with a plastic doll.
No, because that would be weird.
But what happens if you do that? Like, what if someone did that behind? You know, I don't have any dark secrets. All right, what you see is what you get with me. Because you always worry. What happens if I walk out right now in front of the studio and a bus comes by and hits me?
Yes. Well, we don't have any. We're not on a bus route.
I know.
But I understand what you're saying.
If that happened in like my daughter who's 24 years old who looks up to me had to go to my office, she's not going to find anything that's...
No dolls?
No. But what happens if someone bought a doll and their wife didn't know, their daughter, their son, and you get killed?
You know what's funny, Mark? Yes. I'm going to answer your question in two ways.
Yes.
First of all, if I died unexpectedly and I didn't clean up my stuff, so to speak... what the hell would I care?
But
I mean, I'm not even there to even worry about it.
But should you have a housekeeper, like a person with like that? You just say, "Hey, look, hey, Joe. All right, I got this doll in my office."
I think everybody thinks that scenario that you're painting right now.
Yeah.
My response is that what the hell would I care? Unless I come back
because
as a ghost.
Because you care about your family and you care what.
Why would I care? I'm gone. What? Well, how would I? I don't even. I'm not even capable of caring.
All right, so my daughter looks up to me as a man, as a role model, as a father. And then she goes in to clean my office up with my wife, and she's all sad that I got hit by a bus and she misses me. Then she finds Sally all dressed up in leotard sitting in the closet. Yeah. Like, would she think less of me?
Who cares at that point? You're not even existing. Who cares? The other thing.
My question is, do you need to appoint like a guardian in light? Like, do you need to appoint an heir to your, like someone?
Yeah, but then that person could reveal it or something, and that person would have to live with that secret.
If I die, here's the key. You got to go to my office, and you got
to
and you got to melt the doll.
So what we're saying is, when you get older, start being clean about it. Point number two that you made: if I walked in and found my wife with another guy
or another doll,
another man, I would be hurt and I would be concerned and I would do what I do. If I found her fondling a male doll, I'd freaking divorce her in a second. You are weird. I can't even deal with that concept of you. You're mentally like in gone.
So you could reconcile if she was with someone that was of flesh and blood.
Correct.
But if she was but if she chose to be with a doll,
you're fucking nuts.
It's instead of a human being.
Yes, step it up and do it with a person. My God, this is that's totally weirder to me than actually doing it with a person.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, the conversation came up in the gym, and we were getting a kick out of looking at it.
I gotta go to a gym, man. Sounds like fun. Not only do you guys come up with these crazy scenarios, but you shower together. This is pretty cool.
No, we don't shower. We don't have gang showers in the gym.
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird at our age.
Everything's kind of weird at every age, really, when you stop and think about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, there's no dolls coming anytime soon in my life, but I wouldn't mind putting one on stage at the next comedy show.
Then people are going to think you're weird, too. All right, let's recap.
Yes,
how do we get tickets? Let's talk about the event again.
Sure. Plymouth Memorial Hall, September 29th, next week, Comedy for Cause 2. We have some national acts coming in, some local acts coming in. There's 7 comedians in total. We have a variety act with William Hung opening the show, and proceeds go to Duchenne's Muscular Dystrophy and my new 501c3, which is a tax-exempt charitable organization called Wheelchair Strong Foundation. And we did the show last year, and I used another organization who raises money for Duchenne's. Did it like third party, worked underneath them, and then realized after the success of the show that I wanted to set up my own nonprofit. So I put together a power board and hired general counsel, and we were able to get the Wheelchair Strong Foundation pushed through within 6 months with the IRS. And yeah, we're going to be doing this show every year. And coming up in January after this show is over, we're going to be having an 80s dress-up night here south of Boston. And so everything I do,
what is an 80s dress up now?
An 80s it's going to be called Rolling in the 80s.
Yes.
Rolling as in wheelchairs.
Yes, you got it.
And we hired a band. Yeah. And people can dress up in their,
I don't remember what the dress was in the 80s.
No
kind of not.
Well, yeah, you know, if you
Google, start looking at some pictures.
If you Google it, there's a ton of shit on there, but
because I think a lot of people wouldn't know what to wear.
But there's the band that we hired is called Aquanet, so there was a lot of fluffy sprayed up here.
Oh yes, that's when women looked really nice.
Yeah, for the guys, there was a lot of pastel colors, pleated pants.
How did anybody have sex in the 80s when people looked like that?
Oh, I mean, God.
How could they?
I used to put so much gel in my hair that like, you know, and then you'd go to, if you didn't brush it out, you'd go to bed and it'd be all over your pillow and it'd be like flakes everywhere.
What a horrible time it was.
But there were different types of people in every era.
Yeah.
And this show is rocking and rolling in the 80s. So we hired a rock and roll 80s band playing a lot of old, like, AC/DC and Billy Idol.
Nice. That's nice. And when is this taking place? Yeah.
That's January 27th. So you can bust out. Do you remember back in the old days, you had your rock concert T-shirts?
Yes.
So you can bust out your rock concert T-shirts.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, it's and like I said, everything that we do at the Wheelchair Strong Foundation is to entertain.
Good.
I'm in talks with a local production company about doing another documentary film that's going to highlight the disease.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking with my friend Steve Shrippa from Sopranos and Blue Bloods about maybe putting another event together, something maybe Sopranos based in the near future. And
yeah, that'd be great.
There's a lot of different things hey, you know, not to change notes, but do you watch Hulu?
I don't.
Do you have Hulu?
Yes.
We started watching a show yesterday that was really cool, and it's called 11/22/63.
Okay.
Do you know what that date is?
No, certainly not.
I think it's 11/22/63.
Is it a Kennedy thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when he was shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's with James Franco.
Oh, that's.
And he's friends with this guy that owns a diner, and the guy in the diner reveals to him that in the broom closet there is a rabbit hole.
Oh.
And every time he goes into the closet, he comes out to that day.
Oh, there was a movie like that.
It's a Stephen King, J.J. Abrams TV show. And
no,
he has to prevent the assassination of JFK.
Because that rabbit hole thing was done being John Malkovich.
Yes.
That was that movie.
Yeah.
So there was a little stealing going on.
But the show's kind of based on that.
Don't you have to pay for Hulu?
Yeah, $7 a month.
Yeah, I already do that with the stupid other thing.
But you know what I like more about it? Than anything,
no.
is I love the set design and how they capture on screen the 60s and how life was just so freaking simple then.
It was simple, but it was, yeah, it was also very.
Do you like life better now, or do you like it better then?
Where did I go? Did I leave?
No.
I liked.
Because you remember what it was like before we had all this.
Well,
technology.
Yeah, I don't like it now.
Yeah.
I don't like it now. So I guess I would like it better then. There was a lot of political attention around that time with the Cuban Missile Crisis, yes. But look what we're going through now.
Right.
So
right.
Much better then.
Right.
I've talked about this so many times on the show. I crave not to know things.
Yeah, same
I know
here.
Too much.
Same here. Overstimulation.
Overstimulation causes stress.
Yes.
I was so much happier when I didn't know what the hell was going on, and I truly believed that other people were taking care of it.
Yeah.
Now I don't believe anymore at my age that anybody's taking care of anything on a higher level, and that stresses
You're
me
You're a
out.
Grandfather.
I can be if I think about it.
Does it worry you going forward? Like, with...
About what?
Just future generations?
No.
The world is just so effed up?
No, it doesn't worry me.
No?
No.
Because you're not going to be here and you don't give a shit.
That's partially it. And the other part is that we all bring people into the world. That's their gift. Whatever happens, happens.
I know. We adapt and we overcome. And I'm all over the place, as always. And I don't know. Lately, I struggle. I must have some kind of disease or something where I just... You know, I have to be careful when I say that. I make comments all the time to my wife about things, how I miss the way life used to be, and then she gets offended. Like, what? I don't want to be here in the present with her.
No, that's not what that means. That's not. People have saying that since the beginning of time. Everybody who grows old, everybody who's in their late 40s and early 50s plus, all live in the past because it was a more innocent time as far as their lives were concerned. So that is totally normal. As a matter of fact, if you don't find that to be the case, then you're abnormal, I think. Yeah. That is so totally normal.
Is it because our parents sheltered us from what was going on?
Because we knew less.
But do kids of today know less? My kid's 11, and he knows everything because everything's in his face.
Yeah, but they still... you're absolutely right, but there is still that feeling somewhere that... There are smarter people that are going to take care of all of this.
Yeah.
Not only my parents who take care of me, but there are world leaders. There's government. There are the towns and the states that take care, that will always make sure that I'm safe. And so that's a mindset. That's fine. That's good. That's why we always go back to childhood, because we were kind of taken care of.
Yeah. Better. You know what? My father had no skills. He probably couldn't have kicked anyone's ass back in the day, but I felt safe with him.
Certainly. Yeah. Because it wasn't all on your shoulders. And now, especially a guy like you, now you're now not only is it on your shoulders, but there's a lot of people on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more difficult.
I take care of a lot in my life. What do you think of the minimum wage going up? They're trying to push that through nationally.
Yeah, so now instead of making, $10, you make $10.50?
$15 an hour, they're trying to bring it up.
It isn't going to help much.
Just curious.
Here's my problem. There are a lot of jobs. Yeah. Unemployment rate is down to 4.5% nationally, something like that. But 60 to 70% of the jobs are service jobs.
Right.
They're waiters. They're people working behind counters. These are not jobs that will sustain a family. But the good-paying jobs, the professional jobs, very small percentage. And that's the problem.
Do you think a gallon of milk's going to go up now because of it? Or
No.
Because they're going to be forced to raise their prices.
Here's something else I don't understand. Yeah. I haven't done any research on it, and we'll be really quick about it. The gasoline prices, of course, are through the roof because of Hurricane Harvey.
Yes. Yeah. The refineries shut down
for 5 days.
Yeah.
Then they were back up.
Yeah.
And so, they've been back up for, well over a week.
And the gas hasn't gone down.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
What the hell's that about? Uh-huh. It's because now perhaps the American public is just used to paying this, and now we can get away with it.
It's this government corruption.
I don't know. I have to check into it. I mean, maybe there's a lag time before the production goes back to 100%. I really don't know. But those rigs were not destroyed, and those refineries were not destroyed. So I don't quite get this.
Yeah, it's, again, overstimulation.
Yeah.
too much going on,
too
many, too much of everything, too many flavors. Like I take it, and it's dumbed down to its simplest form, where I take my kid into the local ice cream shop and they have a board with 6,000 flavors, and he's correct. Sitting there. I'm like, oh, yeah, just effing pick an ice cream.
Let's talk about saturation.
Yeah.
How many TV shows are on the air now, cable, satellite, broadcast? Probably like 2,000, 3,000, 4,000
yeah.
shows.
Yeah.
There was the day not long ago where if you had a television show, you were among the lucky few.
Right.
Who does a podcast? There right. used to be like maybe a couple of hundred people.
Right. Now,
there's something like 200,000 podcasts.
Yeah. Right.
Domain names.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, now no matter what name you can dream up,
yeah.
someone's already got that
right.
.com. It's just, this oversaturation is just, I think it's putting a dagger in stuff. And as much as marijuana is yeah. wonderful, if everybody's smoking marijuana, mm-hmm. our production level is going to go like right in the tubes.
Right.
Because it makes you lethargic. It makes you feel yeah. nice.
Right.
But I've never smoked pot and said, I'm going to put together a Ferris wheel.
I don't smoke pot, but I wouldn't be, because I don't sleep well. I wouldn't yeah. be opposed to popping a marijuana Skittle in my mouth before bed.
That's fine before bed, but if you're going to smoke
helps
all
me
day,
sleep,
you know,
yeah, I don't going to do that. It. But it's like with Max. It's like, you know, back when I was a kid, chocolate,
yeah.
vanilla,
yeah.
strawberry,
yeah.
and I don't know, maybe two or three others. Now it's, you know, then you got seven people behind you waiting, and yeah. you got, there's too many channels, I liked it when there was less choice. Things were quicker,
correct.
More expedited.
Absolutely.
Because eventually you're going to go back to your go-to stuff anyways.
Yep.
You know, so why do you waste your time looking at all the options? And you're going to eventually, you know, retreat and go back to, you yeah. know, what you commonly
he's right.
know or like.
Ladies
so.
And gentlemen, he's right.
Comedy for a Cause 2, September 29th.
Website, tickets?
memorialhall.com. If you want more information on the disease, wheelchairstrong.com. Please, I promise you, I do not have a silicone doll on the way to my house.
Yeah, that's what he says.
And I do often go to the gym.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you,
before
Ron.
We go, we have a guest with us. Yes. He is the head culinary chef at the Applebee's chain all over the country. And we're going to talk about hamburgers. I've been waiting to talk about this. How do you do the perfect burger in your house? He's got the answer. Let's go to him right now. Hey, Stephen.
Yes.
Hey, there he is. Stephen Bulgarelli joins us now. He's Chief Culinary Officer at Applebee's. And we're talking
about... How you doing?
I'm great, believe me. I've been looking forward to talking about cheeseburgers for weeks now, so this is good for me.
Awesome.
National Cheeseburger Day was yesterday, Monday, September 18th. But that doesn't mean we can't celebrate it continually, and that's what I do. Now,
awesome.
Yes. Now, you're with Applebee's. You guys make a good burger over there, I got to tell you right now.
That's great.
Yeah. So, how can we make our burgers the experience that they should be, rather than just taking a piece of meat and slapping it between two pieces of bread?
Well, there's lots you can do with that. So for us at FBVs, and again for me, I love starting with the best possible raw product. So fresh and over frozen beef is super important. It has the best flavor, and it keeps in a lot of the juiciness to the burger.
Okay. Now, what about the fat content of burgers? I mean, now they're saying that a little bit of fat is really very good for you, so I'm all confused about the fat thing. But does it have to be lean, or should there be some fat in it for taste purposes?
Well, you want to make sure you have some fat in there, so that's flavor, right? Mm-hmm. And it also keeps it juicy. We do like to have a little bit more fat than not in mm-hmm. a burger. It will create a nice caramelization and really give you that juicy burger flavor that you're looking for.
Okay. All right. Now, people are getting very creative with what they're doing with the burgers as far as the actual bread is concerned, as I understand it.
Well, that's true. There's lots of options out there, and what's impressive is the grocery stores really have upped their game. They're offering lots of great product. We happen to use a brioche bun,
ooh.
Which is super delicate and soft. It's got a little bit more eggs and butter in the product, mm-hmm. so it tends to be a little bit more richer as well.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. Yeah, that's a nice choice.
Yeah.
And by the way, in the restaurants, everything turns out better. I don't know what it is. Maybe because they're serving it to me on a plate or what the deal is. Maybe your grill is magic, but yeah, it seems to make a difference.
Yeah, we do. We have magic grills.
Magic grills. We have magic grills. Okay. Now, what about condiments? I guess it's just a matter of taste, but we can get pretty creative with that too, can't we?
Absolutely. Hey, listen, this is your burger. Whatever you like, you can't go wrong with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we happen to have an all-in American Standard burger, which is my favorite. And again, starting with great raw ingredients. Mm-hmm. And then I think what's really important is making sure that you sear the burger and not grill the burger. If you sear the burger on a cast iron or a saute pan at home, and even if you want to grill it, you can put the cast iron pan on the grill. Oh. It really keeps in all the juice, and it gives you that nice caramelization that you're looking for when it comes to a great eating burger experience.
Interesting. I've never thought of that. What about the grill itself? You know, when we do it at home on the barbecue grill, some of us close the lid, some of us don't. Which way do you go with that?
Well, it depends, right? The weather is going to make a big difference in that. You really want to make sure your heat is at a constant temperature. So if you close the grill, you're going to get more of that constant temperature, which is always the best way to go forward with it. That's how I typically grill if I grill outdoors. Okay. You want to make sure you keep that constant temperature so you get an even cooking experience and you're not burning on one side.
All right. And I understand never take the spatula and press down on the burger to shape it once it's there. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct. I can't tell you how many times I have to talk about this. I don't know. I think it's human nature that we want to smash a burger down when it's cooking, and that's the worst thing you can possibly do to a burger because you're squeezing all the juice out, and that's what makes a delicious, wonderful burger. You don't ever want to smash it with your spatula.
All right, there you go. I mean, if anything, we've learned that now. Now, Stephen,
for sure.
Yeah. What about putting things inside of the meat before you actually grill it or sear it? Does that work for you, or is it better to take the ingredients, the onions, that kind of thing, and put them on top?
Well, it's all about, you know, your personal preference. But I will tell you, at Applebee's, we like to sear in the ingredients. So on our flat top, we take caramelized onions, bacon, and pickles, and we put that down first. Then we smash our burger on top of that, which gives you that wonderful caramelization, and the flavors just marry perfectly together with your burger there. So how we'd like to do it at Applebee's. Now, you certainly could put ingredients in the burger itself, like if you wanted to put cheese, you certainly could do that too.
Okay. Now, how do I know that the burger is ready to what I like it as, rare, medium rare, et cetera? How would I know without cutting into it?
Well, you know, a lot of that comes with experience. Yeah. The best way to do it is with a temperature, a thermometer, to make sure that we have the right temperature. But you could just kind of peek at it. Typically, if you have it and the juice starts running out clear instead of red, then you know you're pretty much well done.
Okay. But how do I know that the juice is even running if I'm not going to smash it with my spatula?
Because that's the best way to look at it, because you will see the juice escaping from the burger itself.
Yes.
And you'll see a difference between the color. Typically, it'll start out red, and then it'll switch to clear.
Okay. All right, here's a question for you. How much does it cost to have you come out to my house and make burgers for me?
Well, we could talk offline on that, but I'll give you a good deal. How about that?
Well, I guess I could go to an Applebee's and pretty much get close to that as well, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah. All of our locations, 1,800 across the nation, would be more than happy to serve you an amazing burger.
Okay. Hey, and you know, it sometimes you just crave something where I gotta get one. I gotta, you know, and this is happening to me right now. Give me a recipe. Give me a recipe for something that I probably never thought of burger-wise.
Okay, well, you know, one of our most popular burgers at Applebee's is our whiskey bacon burger.
Oh, that sounds good.
And we top that with our pepper jack cheese, which gives you a little bit of a spicy note, two strips of bacon, and then our signature fired up whiskey sauce, which is a fireball infused sauce that's kind of sweet and sassy at the same time, and we put fried onions on top of that. It makes for an amazing burger.
All right. I just had a sexual experience here. Hold on a second. I'll deal with that later. Okay, fine. Where do I go for more information here?
You can go to Applebee's.com to look at our full menu and all of our burger selections.
Beautiful. Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you. You've definitely given me an idea for dinner, and that's what I'm doing. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Well, thanks, Mark. Great show. Let's go have a hamburger.
Sounds yummy.
One more time, tickets.
MemorialHall.com. Next Friday, September 29th, historic Plymouth, Mass. Come on out and laugh your ass off. Thank you.
There you go. We wish you peace.